Close Your Eyes, killradio.org. That was a group by the name of Spangle with a song called Divine Moments of Truth. They don't normally have any sort of spiritual bent in their music, and I found that song and I was like, wow, this is all over the map. It is kind of intimidating even. So as we begin, I was thinking today on the way over here is that to really understand where we are right now, individually, as a society, as a world, and to grasp these things in mind and heart, we must come to the acknowledgement that our perception and understanding of them is incomplete. So the way we understand ourselves is from a perspective that doesn't ultimately see a complete picture. And the way we understand each other, our society, and other societies is from an incomplete point of view. So can it be that we understand the totality of life incompletely as well? Is it possible that we have a limited understanding of this divine expression of life that we call God? Now, we were individually created in the divine's image and likeness, so we're complete, whole, and perfect individualizations of this life. When we accept that, we can move forward openly. We can approach life as the true scientist does, asking in the simplest of ways, who am I? What is this? Instead of looking at everything with a sense of finality, we can approach life with the mental attitude of what is next? What is next for me? What is next for my place in this world? What is next for society? So in all areas, we begin by being open to what is next, rather than saying, this is it. This is the way it has always been. This is the way it is supposed to be. There's no energy in that. There is a total stop of movement. There is a stopping of evolution. So what is next for each of us? In a way, we will cover that later on, probably in the second part of the show. The first part, I'd like to kind of do a quick recap of what we talked about last week. A lot of people emailed me and said, hey, where's the recording? I wanted to download your show, but I don't see it available. And what happened was there was a technical error on this side, and it didn't record. So I'd like to recap last week's show, probably in the first part, and then go forward from there. So you were listening to Close Your Eyes on killradio.org. My name again is Mark Caldwell, your host, your DJ, your spiritual practitioner. Later on in the show, we'll be listening to new music by Bent. We'll be listening to a classic, so to speak, by Bobby Goldsboro. We'll also hear Hidden Agenda, Channel 1, out of Sweden, The Knife, from Spain, Manu Chao, Dengue Fever and Juan Gabriel, and then, of course, we will close the show, as we always do, with a meditation with music by Jonathan Goldman from the album Shocker Chance. So I thank you for joining today. Let us know that whatever it is that brought us here to this moment, whether it be the music or whatever, let us just be open in however way it is brought to us, to just be open to what is next, to move beyond the same old, to release the need to settle or accept things as they are, and to be willing to renew. Even in the smallest of ways, to renew. You're listening to Close Your Eyes on killradio.org.
comes down Yellow Mountain on a dark flat land she rides on a pony she named Wildfire when the world went by her side on a cold Nebraska night. They say she died one winter when there came a killing frost and the pony she named Wildfire busted down its stall in a blizzard he was lost. Dark as a moon, I planted it. But there came an early snow. There's been a hoot owl howling by my window now for 6 nights in a row. She's coming for me.
Okay. That was a guilty pleasure song. I remember that song from when I was a little kid. Remember, I think we were even driving by a drive-in at the time, and I go, God, I love this song. I didn't say it like that. That was Bobby Goldsboro with the song Wildfire. If my mom's listening right now, she's probably horrified that I would even love that song. We weren't allowed to listen to that kind of music in the home. We were much more hardcore, you know, Rolling Stones, Pink Floyd, Beatles. We wouldn't have had any of that poppy 70s rock stuff that I have an odd thing for here and there. Before that, we heard a group that I love called Bent. They have a new album out called Intercept. That was a song called To Be Loved. Not too many people know about them here in the United States, and I only found out about them because of iTunes. It's not like I'm some, like, whatever it's called, Anglophile or anything like that. So let's recap last week's show in 10 minutes or less. I was sharing from the book Conversations with God. This is the first book in the series. And first and foremost, where it begins from is how we communicate with the divine, or how we speak to the divine. It started with the question that the author asks Neil Donald Walsh. She says, how does God talk and to whom? When I ask this question here, I'm sorry, how does God talk and to whom? And the divine answered, I talk to everyone all the time. The question is not to whom do I talk, but who listens. First, let's exchange the word talk with the word communicate. It's a much better term, a fuller, more accurate one. When we speak to each other, me to you, you to me, we are immediately constricted by the unbelievable limitations of words. For this reason, I do not communicate by words alone. My most common form of communication is through feeling. Feeling is the language of the soul. If you want to know what's true for you about something, look to how you're feeling about it. Feelings are sometimes difficult to discover, and often even more difficult to acknowledge, yet hidden in your deepest feelings is your highest truth. I also communicate with thought, the divine says. And thought and feelings are not the same, although they can occur at the same time. In communicating with thought, I often use images and pictures. For this reason, thoughts are more effective than mere words as tools of communication. In addition to feelings and thoughts, I also use the vehicle of experience as a grand communicator. And when finally feelings and words and experience all fail, I use words. Words are really the least effective communicator. They are most open to misinterpretation. And the divine goes on to say, now the supreme irony here is that you have all placed so much importance on the word of God and so little on the experience. In fact, you place so little value on experience that when your experience of God differs from what you've heard of God, you automatically discard the experience and own the words when it should be just the other way around. And the difficulty to knowing the difference between messages from God and data from other sources. Discrimination is a simple matter with the application of a basic rule. Mine is always your highest thought, your clearest word, your grandest feeling. Anything else, anything less, is from another source. So to recap, we are always in constant communication. We are always connected. And it is a way that we are not conditioned to understand in our culture. We're very much about the word. We're very much about the intellect. So we interact with the divine. We communicate via feeling, via thought, via experience. And to know what feelings are the ones of the divine, or what thoughts, what images or pictures we see are the ones of the divine, or what experiences are really experiences being communicated by the divine, by God, is to know that it is always the highest thought, the clearest word, the grandest feeling. Anything less is from another source. The highest thought is always that thought which contains joy. The clearest words are those which contain truth. The grandest feeling is that which we call love. So joy, truth, love. So if we can practice that, practice to listen, in a sense, I guess, feel our feelings, and to see the love in that, or to have the highest thought, to listen to that, to observe that, and to see the truth in that. To feel the truth in that. And to experience the grandest feelings in the moment is when there is love infused within it, embedded. So what is next is not only listening, but then acting upon them. The only question remaining is whether, the divine says, my messages will be heeded. Most of my messages are not. Some because they seem too good to be true. Others because they seem too difficult to follow. Many because they are simply misunderstood. Most because they are not received. My most powerful messenger is experience, and even this you ignore. Especially this you ignore. Your world would not be in its present condition were you to have simply listened to your experience. The result of not listening is that we keep reliving it over and over again. I will not force you. I will never coerce you, for I have given you free will, the power to do as you choose, and I will never take that away from you ever. So I will continue sending you the same messages over and over again throughout the millennia and to whatever corner of the universe you occupy. Endlessly will I send you my messages until you have received them and held them close, calling them your own. So it is easy to kind of talk about this stuff. And as I'm talking about it myself, I have to go, I can see my own experience where I've had feelings or thoughts or experiences, ideas of where I want to go to in my own life, my own expression of how I want to know myself. And then I know that there's a part of me that feels like, wow, that's difficult. That's too hard. I'm not capable. And that's what we have to heal. That is what keeps us stuck in relationships that we're not truly happy in jobs that we're not truly happy in situations that we would rather not be. In the face of that difficulty, we have to just acknowledge that we're just right up against what is comfortable for us or what we know. And that is how we stretch beyond what has been easy. We stretch beyond what has become easy to us. And we expand and receive and be and give and express what is next. So I invite us all, myself included, to practice listening to what it is that we are feeling, what thoughts we are thinking, what experience we are having. And when we see that there is joy or truth or love in any of them, then we get to know that it is the divine speaking to us. We do not need to walk on water to receive the message, nor do we need to be anointed in any way, have any sort of license or title. Each of us is already the child of God. And this is how we get to go forward, by feeling, by thinking, by experiencing joy, truth, and love.
town and tell the people that the king of sound and blues is on top of the world. If you want to come and get me, this one is called Strictly Rockers, Chris Life Packer.
As long as you wake up and see the sun, it's a good day.
Close Your Eyes on killradio.org. That was Channel 1 with the song Strictly Rockers. And then before that, we heard Hidden Agenda, the song called Pressing On. And we've been talking about communication. And I think one of the things we have to look at, we have to kind of move beyond our ego, perhaps screaming right now, going, why would God want to communicate to any of us? And I think what helps is when we stop looking at God as just this person in a very finite place, just as you and I are. We're in this time and place specifically right here, versus looking at God as the divine expression of life that is in and through all things that have life. So we come to look at it that kind of from that kind of universal perspective. Not only do we open ourselves up to a more complete understanding of the divine, but also our connection to it, our oneness with it. So jumping ahead, because I want to move on to the new stuff today, I think we'll do that in the next part. The author asks, why do some people, take Christ for example, seem to hear more of your communication than others? And the divine responds, because some people are willing to actually listen. They are willing to hear, and they are willing to remain open to the communication, even when it seems scary or crazy or downright wrong. And Neil Donald Walsh responds, we should listen to God even when what's being said seems wrong. The response, especially when it seems wrong. If you think you are right about everything, who needs to talk with God? Go ahead and act on all that you know, but notice that you've all been doing that since time began, and look at what shape the world is in. Clearly, you've missed something. Obviously, there is something you don't understand. That which you do understand must seem right to you, because right is a term you use to designate something with which you agree. What you've missed will, therefore, appear at first to be wrong. The only way to move forward on this is to ask yourself, what would happen if everything I thought was wrong was actually right? Every great scientist knows about this. When what a scientist does is not working, a scientist sets aside all of the assumptions and starts over. All great discoveries have been made from a willingness and ability to not be right. And that's what's needed here. You cannot know God until you've stopped telling yourself that you already know God. You cannot hear God until you stop thinking that you've already heard God. I cannot tell you my truth until you stop telling me yours. The author responds, but my truth about God comes from you. Who said so? Others. What others? Leaders, ministers, rabbis, priests, books, the Bible, for heaven's sake. The divine responds, those are not authoritative sources. Then what is? Listen to your feelings. Listen to your highest thoughts. Listen to your experience. Whenever any one of these differ from what you've been told by your teachers or read in your books, forget the words. Words are the least reliable purveyor of truth. So that is kind of a lot to look at, and yet deep down, I think we all know that it's right. Some of the, I think, reasons why in our society we rebel so much against religion is because we know in the back of our mind that they are not authoritative sources. Although many do seem to parade as if they are. They think that they have more of a connection or more right to a connection to the divine than any of us do. And I guess that is the difference between spirituality and religion, or one of them. Religion feels like it is the only gateway to the divine, and spirituality says it is already there. You're already connected. In fact, you already know what it is you need to. You just get to awaken to it. The other thing we talked about last week was about prayer. Because there's a lot of misunderstanding about that, and this book, Conversations with God, Book 1, really explains it very well. So I'm just going to go to the answer, and it kind of makes all perfect sense. You will not have that for which you ask, nor can you have anything you want. This is because your very request is a statement of lack, and you're saying you want a thing only works to produce that precise experience, wanting, in your reality. So to say that, it's so simple, yet it's easy to get confused. When we say we want something, the activity is not the something, it is the wanting. So we are saying that we want this experience called wanting. Same with hoping. Same with wishing. I wish I had a new car. I hope I could get a new car. I want a new car. All those things have nothing to do with what it is that's at the end of that sentence, the car. It has all to do with the activity that we're perpetuating, that we're saying we wish to experience. We wish to experience wanting when we say we want something. We wish to experience hoping when we say we are hoping for something. We are wanting to have the experience of wishing when we say we are wishing for something. The correct prayer is therefore never a prayer of supplication, but a prayer of gratitude. When you thank God in advance for that which you choose to experience in your reality, you in effect acknowledge that it is there, in effect. Thankfulness is thus the most powerful statement to God, an affirmation that before you ask, I have answered. Therefore, never supplicate, appreciate. Neil Donald Walsh responds, but what if I am grateful to God in advance of something and it never shows up? This could lead to disillusionment and bitterness. Gratitude cannot be used as a tool with which to manipulate God, a device with which to fool the universe. You cannot lie to yourself. Your mind knows the truth of your thoughts. If you are saying, thank you, God, for such and such, all the while being very clear that it isn't there in your present reality, you can't expect God to be less clear than you and so produce it for you. God knows what you know, and what you know is what appears as your reality. What you know is what appears as your reality is the very basis of metaphysics. It is done unto you as you believe. As a man thinketh, so he becomes. Those kind of statements that all great philosophers, prophets, intellectuals, scientists have all said. So with prayer, we simply get to ask from the place of knowing, with the attitude of gratitude. And so when we ask from the place of knowing, grateful in our faith, strong in trust that it shall come to pass, then that's how it ultimately works. So what we always get to reconcile is our spiritual beingness with the mechanics of our humanity. I have a little bit of time left, so let's see if I can wrap this up. Ooh, I really want to cover this in the next part because it's too much. So let's just recap real quick. We began with the most powerful forms of communication are feeling, thought, and experience. And when our highest feeling is filled with love, when our highest thought is an experience of truth, and when our grandest experience is that of joy, then we know that we are in total communication with the divine.
Mentira la verdad, mentira lo que cuece bajo la oscuridad. Mentira el amor, mentira el sabor, mentira la que manda, mentira comanda. Mentira la tristeza cuando empieza, mentira no se va.
Mentira.
Mentira la verdad.
Close your eyes, killradio.org. That was Manu Chao with a song called Mentira. Very spiritual song about lies. And then before that we heard The Knife with a song called Silent Shout. And we've been talking about communication and the ways that we receive communication and we give communication to the divine. And that ultimately, that we have our own barometer, that we have our own litmus test as to knowing what is right. So we get to move beyond what we may intellectually believe through information about what is right about this world, about each other, about ourselves, about God, and to look at what our feeling tells us, what our thoughts tell us, what our experience tells us. And then we started talking about about prayer, and about prayer as an expression of gratitude, as an expression of knowing. So it isn't where we ask from the place of hope or wanting or wishing. There is doubt infused in all of those concepts. And so going forward, the divine says, if you believe that God is some omnipotent being who hears all prayers, says yes to some, no to others, and maybe but not now to the rest, you are mistaken. By what rule of thumb would God decide? If you believe that God is the creator and decider of all things in your life, you are mistaken. God is the observer, not the creator. And God stands ready to assist you in living your life, but not in the way you might expect. It is not God's function to create or uncreate the circumstances or conditions of your life. God created you in the image and likeness of God. You have created the rest through the power God has given you. God created the process of life and life itself as you know it, yet God gave you free choice to do with life as you will. In this sense, your will for you is God's will for you. You are living your life the way you are living your life, and I have no preference in the matter. Before I go forward, you know, I think that's why sometimes we are turned off by religion, when there seems to be this kind of like puppet master God idea paraded around. And for us, that just doesn't feel right. That just doesn't seem right. And in this case, because it doesn't feel right, then we're learning that it's probably inaccurate, even though many people like to tell us otherwise. So we are living our lives the way we are living our lives, and that the divine has no preference in the matter. This is the grand illusion in which you have engaged, that God cares one way or the other what you do. I do not care what you do, and that is hard for you to hear. Yet do you care what your children do when you send them out to play? Is it a matter of consequence to you whether they play tag or hide and seek or pretend? No, it is not, because you know they are perfectly safe. You have placed them in an environment which you consider friendly and very okay. Of course, you will always hope that they do not hurt themselves, and if they do, you will be right there to help them, heal them, allow them to feel safe again, to be happy again, to go and play again another day. But whether they choose hide and seek or pretend will not matter to you the next day either. So skipping ahead, God does not even care about the outcome, not the ultimate outcome. This is because the ultimate outcome is assured. And this is the second great illusion of humankind, that the outcome of life is in doubt. If you doubt God's intentions and God's ability to produce this ultimate result, then how can you ever relax? How can you ever truly find peace? Yet God has full power to match intentions with results. You cannot and will not believe in this, even though you claim that God is all-powerful. And so you have to create in your imagination a power equal to God in order that you may find a way for God's will to be thwarted. And so you have created in your mythology the being you call devil. You have even imagined a God at war with this being, thinking that God solves problems the way you do. Finally, you have actually imagined that God could lose this war. All of this violates everything you say you know about God, but this doesn't matter. You live your illusion and thus feel your fear, all out of your decision to doubt God. But what if you made a new decision? What then would be the result? You would live as the Buddha did, as Jesus did every saint you have ever idolized. Now, I share all that because it starts to get where I feel like I'm sounding preachy, which may be my own ego speaking. I don't like sound like I'm kind of telling anyone what to believe or what to think. But what is so powerful about this is that in the back of our minds, perhaps in our understanding, it kind of is institutionalized in our popular culture, there's a belief that just ever so slightly, ever so small, that this is all going to get messed up. That somehow we are all going to be completely destroyed and forgotten. And that perhaps is where our fear of death comes from. That we won't, we'll be lost. And so I share all of this because the most important thing from it all is to know that the outcome of life is assured. That the ultimate outcome is assured. That all that we're doing now is simply an opportunity to express who we know ourselves to be and to expand upon this knowingness and thus to expand upon our expression. And so when we move beyond these ideas that God is a warring God or a hateful God or that God is in a battle with the devil, Satan, for the souls of humankind, we move beyond that, that's when we get to the place of living in the place of peace, of acceptance, of joy. And I'd love to go forward with this, and I think I'm going to, but it's not a fun conversation, and yet it's so telling about where we are right now as a people. So we left off with, what if you made a new decision? What then would be the result? I tell you this, you would live as the Buddha did, as Jesus did. Moving beyond the illusion moving beyond this feeling of fear, this doubt of God, we would live as the Buddha did, as did every saint you have ever idolized. Yet as with most of those saints, as with most of those saints, people would not understand you. And when you tried to explain your sense of peace, your joy in life, your inner ecstasy, they would listen to your words but not hear them. They would try to repeat your words but would add to them. They would wonder how you could have what they cannot find. And then they would grow jealous. Soon jealousy would turn to rage. And in their anger, they would try to convince you that it is you who do not understand God. And if they were unsuccessful at tearing you from your joy, they would seek to harm you. So enormous would be their rage. So when you told them it does not matter, that even death cannot interrupt your joy nor change your truth, they would surely kill you. Then when they saw the peace with which you accepted death, they would call you a saint and love you again. For it is the nature of people to love, then destroy, then love again that which they value most. But why? Why do we do that? Is what Neil Donald Walsh responds with. All humans are motivated at their deepest level by one of two emotions, fear or love. In truth, there are only two words in the language of the soul. These are the opposite ends of the great polarity which I created when I produced the universe and your world as you know it today. Every human thought and every human action is based in either love or fear. There is no other human motivation. And all other ideas are but derivatives of these two. They are simply different versions, different twists on the same.
Every night, blue stuff, I press it down, cause this ain't the light. te seguiré amando a Dios.
Close your eyes, killradio.org. That was Juan Gabriel with He Venido a Pedirte Perdón. Started off great, and boy, it ended really, I mean, if I could be human for a moment, excuse me, but it ended really kind of like, oh, I wish the song would end. So forgive me for playing that if you felt the same way. If you didn't feel the same way, then I hope you love the song. So we all kind of are in agreement. Before that, we heard Dengue Fever with Made of Steam. And we just started off talking about all human actions being motivated by either fear or love. That every human thought, every human action is based in either love or fear. There is no other human motivation. And all other ideas are but derivatives of these two. They are simply different versions, different twists on the same. So the divine goes on to say, this is what I have called the sponsoring thought. It is either a thought of love or fear. It is the thought behind the thought, behind the thought. It is the first thought. It is a prime force. It is the raw energy that drives the engine of human experience. And here is how human behavior produces repeat experience after repeat experience. It is why humans love, then destroy, then love again. Always there is the swing from one emotion to the other. Love sponsors fear, sponsors love, sponsors fear. And the reason is found in the first lie, the lie which you hold as the truth about God, that God cannot be trusted, that God's love cannot be depended upon, that God's acceptance of you is conditional, that the ultimate outcome is thus in doubt. For if you cannot depend on God's love to always be there, on whose love can you depend? If God retreats and withdraws when you do not perform properly, will not mere mortals also retreat and withdraw? And so it is that moment. In the moment you pledge your highest love, you greet your greatest fear. For the first thing you worry about after saying I love you is whether you'll hear it back. And if you hear it back, then you begin immediately to worry that the love you have just found you will lose. And so all action becomes a reaction. Defense against loss, even as you seek to defend yourself against the loss of God. Yet if you knew who you are, that you are the most magnificent, the most remarkable, the most splendid being God has ever created, you would never fear. For who would reject such wondrous magnificence? Not even God can find fault in such a being. But you do not know who you are, and you think you are such a great deal less. And where did you get the idea of how much less than magnificent you are? From the only people whose word you would take on everything, from your mother and your father. These are the people who love you the most. Why would they lie to you? Yet have they not told you that you are too much of this and not enough of that? Have they not reminded you that you are to be seen and not heard? Have they not scolded you in some of the moments of your greatest exuberance? And did they not encourage you to set aside some of your wildest imagining? And before I go on, I'd like to just kind of interrupt and say, this is now not turning into some sort of bashing of parents. You know, we're all kind of products of products. We're all kind of, I hate to use this term, but one way to look at it is we're all kind of victims of victims. And so if our parents treated us in a certain way that allowed us to come to this place of doubting ourselves, of not knowing who we really are, of thinking of ourselves as such less, then their parents must have done the same to them, and then their parents to them, and their parents to them. So I just want to caution that this is not now to turn into bash parents, you know, hour at closeyoureyeskillradio.org. This is just understanding how this process has come down through us. It was your parents who taught you that love is conditional. You have felt their conditions many times, and that is the experience you take into your own relationships. It is also experience you bring to me. From this experience, you draw your conclusions about me. Within this framework, you speak your truth. God is a loving God, you say, but if you break his commandments, he will punish you with eternal banishment and everlasting damnation. For have you not experienced this banishment of your own parents? Do you not know the pain of their damnation? How then could you imagine it be any different with me? You have projected the role of parent onto God, and have thus come up with a God who judges and rewards or punishes based on how good he feels about what you've been up to. But this is a simplistic view of God based on your mythology. It has nothing to do with who I am. Having thus created an entire thought system about God based on human experience rather than spiritual truths, you then create an entire reality about love. It is a fear-based reality, rooted in the idea of a fearful, vengeful God. Its sponsoring thought is wrong, but to deny that thought would be to disrupt your whole theology. And though the new theology which would replace it would truly be your salvation, you cannot accept it because the idea of God who is not to be feared, who will not judge, and who has no cause to punish is simply too magnificent to be embraced within even your grandest notion of who and what God is. I want to not continue because it is meaty stuff. It is a lot. I think it's something that it is much more effective to read on your own. And I think you get the idea. So the opportunity for us, again, comes back to what we started off talking about today, is practicing listening to the highest feeling, to the most truthful thought, to the most loving experience, and to cherish those, embody those, and listen only to those, so that we become more greatly attuned to the divine, to our oneness, to unity. And so we don't go into fear. We remain in love, even in the face of whatever. We remain established in our unity of love. This is where our true power lies. This is the truth of our being. So we ease away from fear, and we move into love, and we recognize that the divine is non-judgmental, is only unconditionally accepting, that the divine only wants the best for us, and what is best for us is what we choose to believe or think or understand or do. So we have been empowered to live our life, and we have been given free choice to live it as we choose. And so when praying, pray from the place of knowing. Release the need to doubt, to wish, to want. Be willing to know. Be willing to be grateful for that which is coming. That which you know at the perfect time and perfect place shall reveal itself unto you. And as we go forward now, I invite us all to really solidify this in mind and heart. And so I invite you to join in the meditation as we close each show. So if you can just sit back in your chair, if you're sitting down, you can close your eyes if you choose, and just be conscious of your breathing. Let them be full inhales and exhales, complete, easy, effortless. As we begin. So again, we breathe in, we breathe out. Let it be full, let it be complete. Let the inhale be separate from the exhale. So we breathe in life. It is cleansing. It is empowering. We let life in. We let it come into us. We embody it. And then we release it easily, effortlessly, harmoniously. So we breathe in and know that we are breathing in God. In the physical sense, we are breathing in the divine. And as we exhale, we are giving ourselves back to this world. In a sense, we are showing that we belong, that through our oneness with the divine, we're proving that we belong here. We belong in this place, in this time and place. We are meant to be. So allow the mind and heart to rest. Let it become open and receptive. And move your ability to listen, to hear, to receive, to come from beyond merely the ears. Listen with the totality of your being. Listen to the feelings that are felt, the thoughts that you think, the experiences that come through. We practice being with life in that way, being in that form of communication, of feeling, thought, and experience. So we are willing to listen to what we are feeling, to feel it more clearly, more deeply, and to heed what is communicated. Likewise, we are willing to be clear about our thoughts, to see that the highest thoughts are of the divine, and that anything else is from another source. And those thoughts that we know without a doubt are the divine speaking to us, through us, as us. We heed the message. We act upon it. Likewise, we listen to what our experience tells us so that we are willing to move beyond reliving our life over and over again. are willing to simply renew our interaction with God. So knowing that we are one, knowing that there is a oneness that we share, we listen to the divine as the divine listens, open, receptive, with clarity, with power. We listen with the totality of our being. Likewise, we feel from the place of unity. We experience life on the feeling level, on the level of our emotions, as the divine feels, with assuredness, with joy, with love, with peace. And we are willing to listen to our experiences, to what they tell us, and to allow them to be an opportunity to renew. So we approach life as the scientist does, not caught up in what we think should be, not needing to have a certain outcome come to pass. We are open and receptive to being led by life, to seeing it as brand new, and to go forward with an openness, with a receptivity like never before. So we listen, we feel, we experience joy, truth, and love. We see that those are the highest forms of truth, expressing through us and as us. We see that we are connected to this divine expression of life when we experience joy, truth, and love. So we go forward now receptive and open, ready and willing, empowered and empowering. So we move beyond fear. We move beyond resistance. We are willing to look at what we thought was wrong and to look at it again. So we are willing to experiment, to renew ourselves by not being so caught up in what we think is right or wrong. Through no fault of our own, we have an incomplete understanding of who each of us is. We have an incomplete understanding of life, of this world, and of the divine. Thank you. through no fault of our own. And so we now open our heart, our mind, our entire being to be retrained, to be renewed. Listen to the moment. Let us feel the experience. Let us just know joy, truth, and love in this moment. And so we surrender to it. We leave behind all that has held us back. We open our spiritual arms wide, so that our feelings, our thoughts, our experiences are joy, truth, and love. So we go forward, willing to receive a perfect communication, willing to know, willing to ask from the place of gratitude, willing to recognize when we are coming from love or when we are coming from fear. Thank you. willing to act upon what we learn. The feelings of joy that we feel, the thoughts of truth that we think, the experiences of love. The opportunity for us is to go in the direction which they are guiding us. And so we are willing to be guided. We are willing to move forward, to leave behind the old, the incomplete understandings, what we thought was right. We approach life now with the simplicity of a child, with the beauty of authenticity, where we look to everything with eyes wide open, with a mind and heart that is receptive. So we release the need to quantify or qualify. We release the need to judge or to resist. Our life is assured. Our place in this universe is already complete. It is established. So for all of this, we are grateful. We are grateful that on the unseen side of life, we have opened ourselves up to a fuller communication, to a receptivity and an openness like never before. And again, with gratitude, we know that it is complete. That it is done. And so we release all of this, these words, these simplified expressions of the divine truth, of the highest of joys, the fullness of love. We accept it all as complete and as done. Thank you, Mother, Father, God. And so it is. Amen. Welcome back. I want to thank you all for joining with me today. I love sharing this with you, for I speak with you, not at you. And I love sharing the music that is part of today's show. So I thank you very much for being a part of today. And it is my intention that all of this, even the smallest of words, allows each and every one of us to renew ourselves, to expand our understanding, and thus experience a more full life than we perhaps are experiencing now. So as a reminder, Close Your Eyes is every Friday from 12 to 2 p.m. Pacific Time. The show is always available for your own downloading pleasure. Go to killradio.org for the recorded version of this. You can download it and listen to it again if you'd like. Also, the link will be posted on my MySpace page, which is myspace.com/close_your_eyes_1, the number one. close_your_eyes_1. So once again, that's where you can find it if you'd like to download it. It's also double run, so to speak. You can always hear this show again on Thursdays, sometime around 2:45, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's after, it comes after Is Good on Thursdays, which is a show that I, which is so that John Hirschfield DJs from 12 noon. He usually plays a show called The People Who Do That. And that show is generally 45 minutes to an hour. And then that's when my show comes in. So actually, I think I said the time wrong. So it's sometime from 12:45 to 1 o'clock that you can hear this again on killradio.org. I think that's everything. I feel like I'm forgetting something. Oh, if you are in Los Angeles and you'd like to take part in a longer meditation, I facilitate a meditation group at the Los Angeles Gay and Lesbian Center. It's called Meditation for Life. I think they even changed the name for some reason to Meditation for Everyone. It's part of their Learning Curve program, which is the name of their classes that they do. It is at the LA Gay and Lesbian Center's village location, which is near the corner of Santa Monica and Highland. For more information, just go to laglc.com, click on the Learning Curve link, and it'll bring you to there. Also, if you go to my MySpace page, I have the link, the direct link there. Again, myspace.com/close_your_eyes_1. And if you'd like to read on your own what I was sharing from today, I've been sharing from Conversations with God, Book 1. Came out a little more than 10 years ago. It's one of the first spiritual books I ever read, and it is quite amazing in its simplicity and beauty, how clear and how empowering that it is. So I invite you, if you're interested, again, close your eyes. I'm sorry, Conversations with God, Book 1. By Neil Donald Walsh. That's what I was sharing from today, and I think I'll continue on that because it feels good. Feels right. So you can find me once again. You can find me always 12 to 2 p.m. Pacific time every Friday. Although, I just remember, no show next Friday because of Thanksgiving. I will not be here next Friday. I'll return the Friday after that. But I will be here on Monday from 12 to 2 p.m. Pacific time. That's when I co-DJ with John Hirschfield a show called Here, Here. We play music that bands submit to us. So it's an all submission show. They send it, we play it, no questions asked. We basically give up control of our playlist to the bands. We let them decide what we're going to play, basically. And that's that. So again, thank you so much for listening. Coming up next is actually a rebroadcast webcast of Monday's Here, Here. So if you'd like to hear it, it's coming up next at the top of the hour. Thank you so much for joining today. You've been listening to Close Your Eyes on killradio.org.